They can get a knife and slip it, what do they call, between the fifth rib and get the heart, and you're a goner. Spiritually speaking, it is the same way, that we have to have our loins, that is, our midriff, our whole body, encased in truth, as it were. And having on the put on the armored breastplate of righteousness. Now, that means the strength and the power of the righteousness of Christ, which is your right standing with God by His grace through Christ. That's the only way you're going to fight. It's got to be a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual thing that we are up against. Okay, and when we have this right standing, and when we know that Christ is there, when we have the faith that God will do it, God will help us. It doesn't matter what anyone can do to us. It doesn't matter one whit. Okay? And this then is to protect and safeguard, to protect and safeguard your hearts and minds. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and the basic foundation of the gospel of peace, that is the harmony, the peace, and tranquility of God. In addition to everything else, having taken up the shield of faith and belief, with which you're able to extinguish and totally suppress the burning, fiery darts and missiles of passion, temptation, and lust from the wicked one, thereby preventing an entrance into the door of your mind so that he cannot exploit an opportunity to cause you to sin. Now, let's understand something that happens to Christians, and that is, you'll go along nicely minding your own business, nicely doing what you want to do, and your mind is not anywhere on any kind of sin at all whatsoever, and all of a sudden, bing! Here comes a thought in your mind, right? Where did that come from? Did you want that thought? No, you didn't want that thought. That's one of those fiery darts that Satan is throwing, trying to get you to think his way. So that's why then you have to be able to fight off those things. So what do? You just pray right then and ask God to give you the strength to get rid of it and put it away and put it away from you. Get it away. Now, if you don't, then sin is going to be there, you see, and the lust is going to take place, and it's going to work and brood and ferment and manifest its own way, and then it's going to bring forth sin. And as James says, and then sin, when it is done, brings forth death. So that's why it's so very important with this spiritual fight, that we grow, that we change, that we overcome, that we use the spiritual things that God has given us. Okay? Now, verse 17, also putting on the helmet of salvation. And that is, he saves it for last, not that any of the ones before this are of any less importance, but this is the most important. You can be wounded in the arm and still live. You can be wounded in the side and still live. You can be wounded in the legs and still live. You can even have your feet cut off and still live. But if you have your mind blown out, there's no way you're going to live. So that's why he put it here concerning the helmet of salvation, verse 17. And also putting on the helmet of salvation for the protection of your own mind and inward godly character, which is in you by the Spirit of God the Father. So that's why we have on this symbolic helmet of salvation, to guide us, to protect us, to keep our minds, to bring us to the day of salvation, which the whole Feast of Tabernacles is picturing, right? To live with Christ, to be in the kingdom of God, and this is what we need to do to get there, because it is a spiritual fight, which is Christ in you, by the Spirit of God the Father, and take up and always be using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that we know and understand the Word of God and be able to use it, be able to live by it, to be able to have it in our hearts and minds and inward parts, and let it always be there Let that Word of God then be that thing which is going to give the tool of the Spirit of God within our minds to work. How are you going to cut out and exercise those thoughts but by the Spirit of God which is in you? How is the Spirit of God going to work? Through the Word of God. So that's why that then you know why study is important. You know why praying is important. You know why using the Word of God is important. Because this then is the sword which then cuts out those things of lust and passions and the missiles that come from Satan the devil to disturb you and upset you. And so always be using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and have it sharp so that you know. Have it meaningful so that you're able to use it. Then he says, verse 18, and above, and all of these things are accomplished through prayer. That's how they're all done. And brethren, I think one of the things where people fall short most of is in praying, and then in studying. And then when those things accumulate, and then you get a guilty feeling, and you don't pray, and you don't go back to God, and you don't do those things, well, you'll do it later or whatever, then that's when things deteriorate and begin to fall apart. That's been my experience, and I know that's been your experience. So that's why he's saying that all of these things are accomplished through prayer. Okay, now let's continue on here. And above all these things are accomplished through prayer, which is the source of our spiritual strength and enables us to be fully ready for battle. Now how powerful is Satan's way? We could even have the case where people have not been exposed to Satan. Let's go back to Revelation, the 20th chapter, and let's see what happens when Satan is again loosed. We've gone through the whole millennium, haven't we, which is the seventh day pictures here. Okay? You go through the whole millennium, and what happens? Satan has been bound. Everything is glorious and wonderful. People are entering into the kingdom of God, all that sort of thing. Notice what happens immediately when Satan is loosed. If you don't think Satan is powerful, and if you don't think that our adversary has ability, verse 8, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth. As soon as Satan gets out, he deceives. Did these people know about God? Sure they knew about God. Did they understand what was going on? Sure they understood what was going on. But I want you to notice the severity and the power that Satan has. And he gathers them to battle. He incites them, and they are ready to fight God. Those then who become obstinate and rebellious and disobedient to God. So you see, it's really quite a battle that's going on there, isn't it? Yes, it is. And so Satan has power and ability. And you see what happened. These people then were deprived of the Holy Spirit because they didn't believe God. So then when Satan was loosed on them, immediately they went into this rebellion and fighting God. Now, while we have the Spirit of God, which is true, we are living in this world that is controlled by Satan. And we, in fact, are the enemy of Satan. Does he want to destroy the enemy? Yes, he does. Does he want to destroy us? Yes, he does. Any way he can. By whatever subtle means, by whatever lust or temptation, by whatever thing he can put out there to you to get you, Satan will want to. So we don't want to give him any kind of opening or any kind of permanent foothold into the door of our mind or the activity of our lives. So we have to use prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit so that God will give us the strength. Now let's go back to Ephesians 6 and verse 18. And all these things are accomplished through prayer, which is the source of your spiritual strength and enables you to be fully ready for battle. Do you realize how important that is then? Realize how absolutely necessary that it is. So we don't want to let ourselves get out of training, do we? We don't want to let ourselves be unclothed, as it were, and naked to the enemy, do we? Now, isn't that what has happened to the Laodiceans? Yes. They are naked, they are blind, they are open to the enemy, and what? He has enticed them with riches. He has enticed them with wealth. He has enticed them with standing. He has enticed them with understanding. So they become lukewarm. You go back and study again all the seven churches there in Revelation 2 and 3. Who was the great adversary against the people of God? Satan, the devil. And so this is absolutely important that we have, through the power of prayer and God's Spirit, this battle array on us so we're ready for battle. Now continuing, even by earnest supplication and entreaty at all times in the Holy Spirit of God. So there are times we have to really beseech God. We have to go to God and say, oh God, I don't understand. Give me understanding. Oh, this is too much. I cannot handle this. Help me with this. This is a battle. Please give me the strength. Please give me the armor. Please give me the ability through Christ to understand and go through this thing. Now, there are times we just have to go to God that way in supplication and entreaty at all times in the Holy Spirit of God. In this very thing, the spiritual battle for your soul. And that's what it is. Satan, the devil, is there. He doesn't want to see you attain to the resurrection. He doesn't want to see you in the kingdom of God and live with Christ and rule and reign with him 1,000 years. No, he wants you to be a victim. He wants you to be shipwrecked or car wrecked or destroyed or self-destruct or do spiritual suicide as Esau, who sold his inheritance for a small, pitiful bowl of porridge. So he is there. And it says, continuing now, always be watchful and vigilant with all perseverance and supplication concerning all the saints. And that's why we need to pray for each other, brother, that we can be healed, that we can be strong, that we can grow in grace and knowledge, that we can overcome all of our little difficulties and problems and major difficulties and problems that we have. And I am not without need for your prayers for me. I need them. And in the work and business that I am in right now, real estate has been absolutely at the bottom of the stack and has been very difficult for me to even make enough just to exist. God has helped me in it, been able to have enough to exist and get by. That's fine. So I'm trusting in God to do so, and that's just the way that it is. But the only thing that is going to solve the problem is for God to intervene and bless me and bless you, and we pray for each other, and that God is able to be with us. That's what he's saying here in everything that we do. And verse 19, and even for me, that is Paul saying, being in prison here, in order that an opportunity for speaking and preaching with all boldness and courage may be given to me to make known the mystery of the gospel. And we need that too, brethren. The time has come that now that we need to ask God to help us to grow, that we need God to ask us to help us to really be able to reach out and help other people. I think that we have had enough time to be healed from the spiritual battles of the past. I think we've had enough time to overcome what we have gone through. Now that we can be strong enough, now that we can, with God's Spirit, ask God to help us to open an opportunity for these things, that if God wants me to, I will. If there's someone else that I can help and do it with, it'll be practical, that's fine. Whatever God wants, that it will be opened up. But so that we can preach with all boldness and courage that God can possibly give us to make known the mystery of the gospel, which then is everything about the gospel and Christ and being God and being human and dying and being resurrected and intervening and sending his Holy Spirit and on and on and on and on. and those things just need to be, and God can do it. Verse 20, for which, or on behalf of which, I am an ambassador and an envoy in bondage and chains, in order that, even in this condition, so Paul was not waiting to be loosed from prison to preach. He said, even in this condition, I may be as bold and courageous as it is necessary to speak, but that you may also know and understand the things and circumstances concerning me, what I am doing and how I am faring. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful and believing servant in the Lord, shall make known everything to you, whom I have sent and dispatched to you for this very purpose, that he might make known the things concerning us, that he might encourage and comfort and uplift your hearts. Now, I don't have anyone to send to you, so we're going to do the next best thing. We're sending these videos, which if Paul would have had them there, I'm sure he would have used them to send them to the brethren. Now, verse 23, may the peace, harmony, and tranquility of God be to the brethren, and may you have that godly, divine love coupled with faith and belief from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, God's divine favor, blessing, and goodness, even God's generous gift, be with all of those who are loving our Lord and Master Jesus with godly, divinely inspired love, in sincerity, integrity, genuineness, and incorruption. Amen. So that is the expanded version of the book of Ephesians to this point, and tomorrow we're going to go through the third chapter, and we're going to see the tremendous and absolutely elevated, exalted heights of Paul's understanding in the mystery and revelation of God that God gave to him of God's plan and purpose for us and for the calling he's given us.